Is Halloween the holiday from hell? What are its roots? Do witches, Satanists, and occultists view October 31st differently than the average person in our culture? What do black cats trick-or-treating or scary costumes have to do with the demonic realm? This is Eric Barger, and Take a Stand Radio is on the air. Stay tuned for answers.
It's time to Take a Stand with Eric Barger. Each week at this time, author, speaker, and noted Christian apologist Eric Barger is here to help you discern the times in the light of God's Word. And now, here's Eric Barger.
Yes, greetings everybody. Eric Barger here. Take a Stand Radio is definitely on the air. So glad you joined us today. This is going to be an important program. In fact, as we're producing and airing this program this weekend on October 29th, 2011, that's when you're hearing this if you're listening live on radio, just a couple of days from now is Halloween. By the way, I want to say happy birthday to my wife. It is her birthday today, and without her, there wouldn't be any Take a Stand Ministries, and I'm not sure that Eric Barger would be breathing today if it hadn't been for her prayers and standing with me and walking through the tough times before I got saved and believing God for me to have a change of heart and finally come around. Well, anyway, it's fitting that we dedicate part of our time today to the discussion of Halloween. Regardless of how you're hearing this, whether you're listening live on radio or later via the podcast or the internet, there's precious little understanding concerning the origins, the practices, and the images surrounding Halloween. And I can say that unequivocally after so many years of research dealing with this. I've been writing about and talking about Halloween now for about 25 years in our ministry, and I can tell you that there's still a great lack of understanding. Many pastors just want to avoid this issue. Some want to skirt around it. People out there don't want to be offended, so we don't want to say anything about it. But we need to stand up and give leadership concerning this particular day. Halloween's going to be with us each and every year until the coming of the Lord anyway. For the Christian church, is something we're going to have to deal with, and so we need to do it. You know, there are a lot of people inside Christian circles or those who claim to be Christians who see it exactly opposite. They think that just getting involved with Halloween is no big deal. It's just a lot of jollification and, costumes and bobbing for apples and fun and trick-or-treating and candy and all those kind of things. And, you know, we have this fascination with being scared and the occult and that kind of thing that's going on behind the scenes. And maybe we really don't even realize what's happening. I will never forget many years ago walking into a Halloween party in a church to see the pastor's wife dressed as a witch. That's not the image that the Christian church should be portraying about this. It's not that we want to be holier than thou, and it's not that we want to act like this stuff isn't going on in the world, but we need to be able to give answers to people. That's what 1 Peter 3:15 implores us to do. Be ready always to give every man an answer for the hope that lies within us. And sometimes that means giving answers as to why we don't do the same things the world does, why we don't fall in with all the stuff the world is up to. And this, of course, would be one of the main things that comes up in topics when you start talking about the things that Christians do that the world does. We have a lot of Christians don't understand Halloween, and that's why we get involved with this stuff. That's why we open these doors up for our families, for our kids, etc. But before I get into all that, I want to recap where we've been for the last 3 weeks. We've been in the middle of a series called The End Time Occult Invasion. By the way, you can listen live to those first 3 weeks of programming and to all of our programming that we've done and to many of my videos and other audio messages at our website, ericbarger.com. That's ericbarger.com. Of course, you can click the radio link there to get all of the past radio programs. You can also find us on iTunes by searching for me. That's just search for Eric Barger, and you'll find all of our podcasts there and be able to subscribe to the podcast and get that delivered to your computer or to your phone or whatever way that you listen to things from the internet, you'll be able to get it that way. This is week 4 in the series, The End Time Occult Invasion. Let me tell you what I did during week 1. In week 1, we gave definitions for the word occult. The word occult comes from the Latin word occultus. It means things hidden, things in darkness, things left unrevealed, the practices of sorcery and divination. And that can include everything from astrology to numerology and palmistry and reading of palms and white witchcraft and black witchcraft and Satanism. And, of course, some of the contemplative practices that we see being integrated into the emergent church movement. Also, during that first week, I gave a key passage from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 12, that literally half of my book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware, is written around those four verses in Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 12. You're going to find in those four verses something that we call the nine forbidden practices of the occult. We wrote a chapter on each one of those practices in the book, and then a summary chapter as well. So 10 chapters in Entertaining Spirits Unaware that give you understanding right from the Word of God about these occult practices that we see being made normal in our culture. You know, I say this so often. I've said it during this series. I'm sure I'll say it again at some point. The occult has become normal to us. I believe this is a surefire sign of the end of the end of the end days. And when a culture accepts the supernatural but rejects God, the culture is in trouble. And that's exactly what we see going on today. And if anybody should know about that, if anybody should be able to point that out and speak about it with some clarity, I believe it should be us in the church, real, live, authentic Christians. That's who ought to be talking about this. You know, during the first week, we closed with some practical steps that parents and grandparents can use in dealing with the many avenues that the world is coming to our homes with. You know, the occult is being promoted on television and so many other ways: motion pictures, literature, video games, board games, cartoons, music, and of course, the friends around us in our neighborhoods. The supernatural has become normal. It's coming at us every day. And if you don't believe how much the world is hooked on the supernatural, then I just challenge you to go and look at the most popular TV shows, the most popular books, the most popular motion pictures, the most popular video games and cartoons, and tell me what you see. You are going to see the world of the occult live and in color right before us, making it look like that if we don't get involved, somehow we're not cool, that we're missing out. And I'm sure our kids and our grandkids are going through that experience. Even in Christian circles, they're going through that experience. In week one and in week two, we also heard part of the soundtrack from my live seminar DVD, The End Time Occult Invasion. It's 85 minutes long, so we didn't play it all. But in that DVD, we discussed Harry Potter novels and the movies and also the Twilight books and films. And if you'd like to get a copy of that, it's a part of our special offer, or you can also just order that single DVD. It's available at our website, ericbarger.com, and you can also get it if you want the CD message, which is just the audio portion of it. But, of course, the DVD has all the slides, all the scriptures and documentation right there on the screen with me preaching before a live audience. No doubt the literary world and Hollywood will never be the same after the unheard-of success of J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter novels. As I predicted years ago and also wrote about in my book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware, the success that Potter has seen would also open up an entire field of wannabes and lookalikes out there trying to cash in to write the next Harry Potter novel or to make the next Harry Potter movie, or something like it, if you know what I mean. It has certainly changed the spiritual minds of millions and millions of people who now see nothing wrong with witchcraft because it's all being done for the good. That's one of the misconceptions. We think if something good is happening, it must be acceptable before God. I think there's a conception among some Christians that we think that the occult has to look evil. And sometimes, as we know, as we research this, we know it doesn't always look evil. We have to test the source of it. There are two sources of power in the universe, ladies and gentlemen: God, that is eternal, God that is all-powerful, and Satan, who has limited power. And if you're experiencing supernatural power or supernatural experiences, you're getting it from one of those two sources, and you got to figure out who's coming to dinner. It's one or the other. It won't be both. It's one or the other. I also identified the key flaws in the reasoning process of those in the world who uphold the Harry Potter novels and Harry Potter himself as a wonderful hero for their children and their teenagers to emulate. You know, that's shocking to me when you think about it, that we would want to call Harry Potter a hero, that we have stooped that low. You know, when I was a child, and I admit that I grew up in the 1950s, I was born in 51, so I grew up in the 1950s, and I knew that the heroes wore a white hat and rode into the scene on a white horse, and the villains had a black hat and a black horse, and you knew one from the other. Most of the heroes had absolute standards of morality working in their lives, and that was back in the 1950s. Most of them portrayed absolute standards. Well, today, our heroes actually do the same things that the villains did when I was a little boy. Now think about that. Look at the action heroes today and see if you want your children to act like them, to talk like them, to live like them. Think of the language that many of the heroes use, that many of the action heroes today in our culture use. Think about Harry Potter. So often I pointed this out to parents who try to defend it, and I realize that parents defend it because they've spent the money on the books and allowed their children to do these things, and they don't want anybody like me coming along to try to in any way contradict what they've done. But think about it. Harry Potter and his friends lie, cheat, steal, swear, and drink. Is that what we want our kids to look up to as a hero? I just challenge us to think twice about this. It isn't like we should pick out the lesser of all the evils or the best of the characters involved. We ought to look for standards that are higher than that. We ought to set our standards according to what the scriptures say, not according to what is number one in the charts with the biggest selling movies of the time. No, we've got to have our standards set higher than that. You know, as we went on in this series, we also discussed the fact that many Christians, or people who identify themselves as Christians, have not only accepted Harry Potter as harmless entertainment, but they go out of their way to promote and defend the Harry Potter phenomena. The absurd amount of emails and phone calls and snail mail letters that I've received over the last 10 years since I first started talking about Harry Potter and exposing the truth about it, this clearly shows a complete gap or a lack of discernment in Christian circles concerning the supernatural and the people and things that we'll allow to be invited guests in our home. Remember, nobody is forcing us to buy a Harry Potter novel or to go to any movie or to be involved in anything like that. These are choices we make when it comes to discernment of our entertainment. And you know, when we allow these people into our homes and into our minds, we better think twice before we allow them to take a seat there. Last week, I re-aired a tiny portion of an hour-long interview I conducted recently with my co-author of Entertaining Spirits Unaware, Dave Benoit of Glory Ministries. And I did that interview for my good friend Jan Markell of Olive Tree Ministries, and her radio show is called Understanding the Times, and this interview was played recently across the country. She has a weekend show every weekend. You ought to listen to it if you don't know about it. Understanding the Times is a terrific program, and Jan has been a great influence in the Christian church. I thank God for her ministry and for Dave's as well. And last week in our program here on Take a Stand Radio, David and I discussed the reasons that we firmly believe that Halloween is out of bounds for biblically minded Christians. David pointed out during the interview that for 364 days each year, we tell our children not to accept anything from strangers, and then we dress them up and take them down the street and allow them to knock on any door to get whatever a stranger would hand them. Now, there's something wrong with that picture, folks. I want you to think about it. Now, if you just tuned in, this is Eric Barger. You're listening to Take a Stand Radio. This is our 29th year of full-time apologetics and discernment ministry across the U.S. and Canada, and I'm here each week at this time on the radio. I travel about 200 days every year to conferences and local churches. I do this nationwide, and I present a series of seminars called Take a Stand Seminars that deals with the cults, the occult, spiritual warfare, the emergent church movement, Bible prophecy, current events, and all of that in the light of the Bible. I encourage you again to listen to the first three episodes of our series, The End Time Occult Invasion. You can get those at ericbarger.com by going to our radio archive or by just searching in iTunes, and you'll find it there. Tell a friend about us, too. We appreciate when folks do that, and oftentimes people send links to our website around to their friends, and we really appreciate that. And we hope to see you sometime soon at a seminar or conference somewhere in the country. This week I'm in Texas, and next week as well, preaching in different churches. And I'm in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Then I'm up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Parkersburg, West Virginia. And then I'll be back to Sedalia, Missouri, and flying back to Seattle at that point. But 24-day trip that I'm involved with, so appreciate your prayers very much. Once again, this week we're offering the Occult Awareness Package. It has six items in it. It includes my book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware. It's just been updated. It has a 33,000-word addendum in it and all the new updating that we've done just this year. Almost 300 pages in length. Very non-threatening. A matter-of-fact, biblically-based understanding. It's not a sensationalistic work, but it's just giving out the facts. I've always said, just the facts, man, just the facts. Kind of like Joe Friday. We want the facts. We want the biblical truth. We want to be able to make a difference in our culture. And that's what a book like this will do to help you. You'll be able to give answers to the people around you. Also in the package are three full-length DVDs, including the one I mentioned a few minutes ago, The End Time Occult Invasion. That's 85 minutes long, chock full of documentation and information. The next DVD is The Hidden World of the Occult and Our Triumph Through the Cross. And the third DVD in the series or in this set is Bible Prophecy and the Occult, and that's a very interesting topic. There are also two booklets involved. One of them's called Halloween, This Trick is No Treat. Be a great resource for you to have that you'll refer to often. And my book on Twilight, Bringing Twilight Out into the Sun, S-O-N, that sun, Bringing Twilight Out into the Sun, talking about the Twilight series. All right, as I said at the opening of the program, we want to answer some of the questions concerning Halloween. You know, it's coming right up on us, and the church should be knowledgeable concerning this, the pagan world's number one holiday. Witches certainly understand the significance of Halloween. I believe Christians should as well. I'm going to take some information from my booklet, Halloween, This Trick is No Treat. Some of this information also appears in my book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware. But this is a pamphlet, basically, that my friend Dave Benoit and I put together. It's part of the package we were offering on the radio this month. And just going to read a few of the facts here. First of all, about the origin of Halloween. The word Halloween itself actually has its origins in the Catholic Church. It comes from the words All Hallows Eve or All Hallows Day, All Saints Day. It was set aside to honor the saints. Well, in occult and witchcraft circles, October 31st represents a day of worship to a god named Samhain. This is a Celtic New Year. History tells us the Celtic people were worshippers of the earth gods, the woodland spirits, and sun deities. And one legend explains that on Samhain, the spirits of those who had died throughout the last year would come back and search for living bodies to possess for the next year. It was believed that their only hope to enter the afterlife was to do this. It's also the day when the living were to communicate with the dead. Of course, this is called necromancy. The Bible speaks directly against this. We're not to speak to any entity in the spirit realm except God. If you think you've ever talked to a departed loved one or to someone who'd lived previously who's now dead, you're not speaking to them. They're not talking. You're speaking to a demonic power that is masquerading or feigning to be that particular person. And I realize how touchy this is. A lot of people want to believe they've talked to their aunt or their grandfather or their mother or somebody that's died, and you want to believe that. But this is completely unbiblical, and it goes against what the Scripture says. And time again, from occult sources, we read that Halloween is a focus on the worship and contact of dead ancestors and communication with the spirit realm. What about trick-or-treating? Well, the early practice of Halloween, the people were afraid of what would happen to them if they didn't give the Celtic priests an offering from their food, from the harvest that had just happened. And so the Celts would come, and if the priest wasn't given a good harvest, then there would be harm brought to this person's home or to their belongings, even to their cattle, their fields, and so on. What about jack-o'-lanterns? Well, the Celts who lived in Great Britain and northern France, they would carry a lantern on October 31st, and these lanterns were carved out of huge turnips, and lights were put in them inside these turnips, and of course there were candles, and it was believed that by carrying these, you could ward away evil spirits. The myth behind the jack-o'-lantern was that a man named Jack had made a pact with Satan. And then he would aimlessly wander throughout the wilderness looking for some sort of guidance. and that he would put a piece of coal from hell in a turnip that would guide him. These are myths, of course, but this is the basis of this stuff that we now allow our children to be a part of. Black cats. They were often associated and still are associated with the world of the occult. Many superstitions have involved black cats. It's believed that witches could change into cats. That, of course, that practice is called lycanthropy. And this is definitely one of the dark practices inside the world of the occult and witchcraft. And, of course, some believe that the spirits of the dead inhabit black cats. I personally have known a couple black cats in my life that I really like, by the way. Okay, what about dressing in costumes? During the festival of Samhain, it was a fire festival to honor the god of the dead, and history tells us that they would light a bonfire to Samhain, and people were then afraid to walk home, so they would dress up in costumes with masks on their face in hopes that the spirits wouldn't know who they were. So what should our response to Halloween be? What should the church be doing on that day? I believe if there's any day in the year when the church needs to pray, and really pray, it's on Halloween. It's the highest unholy day of the year for those involved in the occult. And many involved in witchcraft say that the separation between the natural and spiritual worlds is thinnest during that day. If for no other reason, because the amount of supernatural, evil, occult activity that takes place, the sacrifices, the rituals, and so on that take place on Halloween night, I believe the church should pray and pray against those things. I think it's a very positive thing when the church takes the call to prayer seriously and begins to actively and boldly pray against the forces of darkness. Who knows what will happen in the spirit realm if you and I decide to pray and pray against those things. I've always said that we should pray and take an active role concerning the world of the occult, and wherever evil is, the church should be praying against it. And that's a position I think we need to take. I believe also we should have some sort of a celebration of life in Jesus Christ, not one that's laced with all of the occult rituals and all the trappings from the world of witchcraft and paganism, but certainly something for our kids to do that evening, which would not include all of the different trappings of Halloween, but something to let them know that we as Christians do have good fellowship, and we do take seriously, though, what this day means concerning those who are involved in witchcraft around us. And so that's the position I think we need to take, a very proactive position, and I hope that you'll join me in that position. Before our time is gone, I want to encourage you to go to our website, ericbarger.com, and download Halloween, This Trick Is No Treat. You'll be able to get the entire pamphlet. It's 3 pages front and back, and you can fold those pages together and make as many of these booklets as you want to give away either at church or at Bible study to your friends and family or even to those who might knock on your door on Halloween night. I encourage you to go there and to get that. You'll find the link on our homepage, and also we have several menus of information that are all categorized by the different topics I speak about. One of them is the occult, and you'll find a Halloween This Trick Is No Treat linked inside of that menu. It's simple and easy to read. It's a PDF file. Most of you out there know what that is, and you'll be able to get it that way. Well, my time is just about gone this week, but before it is, I want to remind you that Take a Stand Radio is on the air each weekend because people like you understand the need we have today for discernment and apologetics ministries. Thank you so much for praying for us. Thank you for your support. One great way to support our ministry is by ordering the materials that I offer each week on the air. This week, it's the Occult Awareness Package. It includes my book, Entertaining Spirits Unaware, nearly 300 pages long, 3 of my full-length seminar DVD teachings done live in conferences and churches across the country, and of course, the 2 pamphlets, Halloween and Twilight. It's only $50 plus shipping. You can call 214-289-5244 to get it, or just by going to our website, ericbarger.com, to order safely and securely. This ministry is brought to you each week by Take a Stand Ministries in Rowlett, Texas, and is funded and supported by the gifts of our friends and supporters. Come join with us and take a stand with us. I'll see you next week, folks. God bless you. Have a great week.
With nearly 3 decades of experience, Eric Barger and Take a Stand Ministries exist to see the lost saved and the church changed by providing cutting-edge insight on issues facing us today. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your participation is needed. please consider a gift to help Eric and Take a Stand challenge both the world and the church. Send your gifts and requests for products mentioned on this broadcast to Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. That's Post Office Box 1485, Rowlett, Texas, 75030. Or call us at 214-289-5244. This is John Clemens reminding you to join us right here again next week and encouraging you to take a stand for Jesus Christ each and every day.
Hi, everybody. Eric Barger here. I surely appreciate your support of Take a Stand Radio. To know that so many of our friends here on the CSN Network are standing with us is a great encouragement. You know, presenting our live seminars across the U.S. and Canada some 200 days each year can be draining. But it is terrific to see how folks just like you join together to meet the financial needs of Take a Stand. As we begin our 29th year of full-time ministry, our goal remains the same as it was in the very beginning: to see the lost saved and the church changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your prayers and support make that a reality. Don't forget to order our special occult awareness package. It'll be a great resource for you and your family and church. It's only $50 plus shipping. It's a great way to support our ministry as well. Visit ericbarger.com or call us at 214-289-5244. I'll talk to you again next week. God bless you.